Welcome to City Harvest Sermon Podcast. We hope you will be blessed by the preaching of the word by Pastor Wu Yuzhuang.
Now, in the Gospels, you will find that Jesus, from time to time, he would interrupt certain individuals, especially when they are on a journey to somewhere. Now, Jesus interrupted them so that they will not continue their intended way, because most of the time, their intended way was the wrong way. I want you to know that if you are not in the right place, Jesus wants to interrupt you so that he can bring you back to the right place. I remember one time I was preaching in church. Now, so I was fully focusing on my delivery. You know, most of the time I try to internalize, memorize my message. So I was focusing. All of a sudden, you know, Pastor Main, who was sitting right in the front row, he walked towards me and passed me a slip of paper. Now, honestly, I was a little disturbed by his interruption. All right, so I was saying, why would Pastor Main want to interrupt my message, my preaching? Then I thought, wait a minute, could it be I said something wrong on the stage? All right, if I did that, I'd like to apologize for that. Or could it be something happened? Somebody fainted and I needed to stop the service. So I opened the paper and look at what he wrote. And to my horror of horror, the paper says, your zip flyer is open. I was like, oh my God. And immediately, all right, I turned and helped myself, zip myself up and turn back and try to continue to preach as if nothing happened. See, what happened is that it wasn't my message that needed correction. It was my indecent exposure that needed correction. Now, yes, I was disturbed by Pastor Meng's interruption. But do I appreciate him interrupting me and letting me know that my zip fly is open? Definitely. Why? Because our service is aired live globally and it is there 24/7. And I believe it is still there today. If you search for it, stop it. I know some of you are searching for it. I'm not going to tell you the title of the message I preach, all right? But even if you search for it, you will not find anything, because I tried. You know, I tried to go back and see that service. And I realized that our skillful videographer, when they saw my exposure, immediately they lift up the TV. And so the TV only captured my waist, you know, to the top, right? Let's give our TV crew a big hand. Very professional, very skillful. Now, I thank God for Pastor Meng, who interrupted me, because if he didn't interrupt me, I would have no chance to correct myself. What am I trying to share with you today? Sometimes Jesus interrupts us, not to embarrass us or to disturb us, but he wants to bring us back to the right place. See, in the New Testament, there are two famous passages on Christ's interruption. The first one is Paul, or Saul, on the way to Damascus. He was going there to kill Christians, but Jesus interrupted him and turned his life around. The second one is the disciples on the road to Emmaus. I want you to say Emmaus. Say one more time, Emmaus. Now, that is what I want to share with you today. Now, in this story, Jesus interrupted two disciples. Now, they went from Jerusalem to Emmaus. And they are not part of the 12 disciples, but they were close enough to be associated with them. I want you to turn with me to Luke chapter 24, verse 13 to verse 14. Now, it says over here, now there, behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. Let me give you the background of this story. So, what happened is this passage happens on the first Sunday after Jesus was crucified, died. And the Bible says in verse 1 to verse 12 that the women, including Mary Magdalene, Joanna, And then Mary, the mother of Jesus, and other women, they all went up to the tomb of Jesus. What happened is that after Jesus was crucified, died, and buried, now his body was hastily prepared for burial by Joseph of Arimathea. So the women, on Sunday morning, they went up to the tomb to properly complete this hasty job that was prepared earlier on. Right? Are you following the story? Now, you got to understand, at that time, the sentiment of the people. The women were sad. The disciples were scared. The women were on the way to the tomb, but the disciples were hiding in the upper room. Because in their hearts and their mind, they thought Jesus was dead, and because they still think that he was dead, they were discouraged, disillusioned, and defeated. The last time they saw Jesus, he was hung on a cross. You know, there was a crown of thorns on his head. His hands were nailed to the cross. Blood was streaming down his eyebrow, and there was a hole on his side. The last time they saw Jesus, he was already dead. But on Sunday morning, when the women went up to the tomb, they realized that the stone that covered the mouth of the tomb was rolled away, and the body of Jesus was nowhere to be found. And then suddenly two angels appeared before the women and told them that Jesus had already resurrected. So immediately they went back to tell the disciples what happened, what they saw, and what they heard. But the disciples didn't believe them. They thought they were crazy because the last time they saw Jesus, he was already dead on a cross. Now, on the same Sunday, two disciples, they were going to Emmaus from Jerusalem. The Bible tells us earlier that this journey is a 7-mile journey or 11 kilometers journey. Now, and one of the disciples is called Cleopas. Everybody say me, Cleopas. Now, Cleopas and his companion, they were not originally from Jerusalem. They were originally from Emmaus. They have gone up to Jerusalem for the Feast of the Passover. Is it okay if I tell you the Bible story? All right, they went up to Jerusalem for the Feast of the Passover. And they have probably heard that Jesus also went up to Jerusalem on the Palm Sunday. They have heard so much about Jesus, his presence, his power, his miracles, his story. And all their lives, they have been waiting for this Messiah who was promised in the Old Testament that would come to deliver them from the political oppression of the Roman Empire. But things didn't happen the way they expected. Their hopes were crucified. Their dreams were dashed when Jesus was crucified, died, and was buried. While most of the disciples stayed in Jerusalem, somehow these two disciples, they have this urge to quickly want to leave the city, leave Jerusalem. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever experienced something terrible and you just feel like running away? You just feel like you can't stay in that place anymore. Something happened and you just feel that you need to just get out. You want to forget everything. So my friends, Emmaus is a place we go to in order to forget our pain and our disappointments. Emmaus is a place we just run to so that we can forget everything. The pain, the sorrow, the misunderstanding. See, they continued their way, walking, debating. There are so many questions, but so few answers. I want you to continue the story at verse 15. Now, it says over here in verse 15, so it was while they conversed and reasoned that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Now, Cleopas and his companion. The Bible didn't tell us the name of this companion. Some people, some scholars, they say that perhaps this companion could be his wife or his son. Because in the later passage, Cleopas told Jesus, please stay with us. So it could be his wife or his son. Now, or maybe the Bible intentionally left out the name of this person, because this companion could be one of us. Because Jesus wants to meet us at our Emmaus, the place where we retreat to when life is too hard for us, the place we run to when we want to forget about everything else. See, the thing is, as they were talking about the crucifixion, about the empty tomb, suddenly Jesus appeared before them and started to walk alongside with them. Now, today, I just want to go through this passage and help us understand Christ's interruption, how it looks like in this story. All right, are you ready for a Bible story? Emmaus. Now, I'm going to give you a few points, but don't worry too much about the points. The points are to help you to follow the story. Are you ready? Point number one, Jesus walked with them. Jesus walked with them. You know something? If you want to be a follower of Jesus, you need to learn to be a walker. Because Jesus is a walker. In the Bible, everywhere he went, he walked. He walked to Bethany. He walked to Capernaum. He walked to the Sea of Galilee. He walked to Jerusalem. He walked to Via Dolorosa. He walked to the cross. Everywhere Jesus went, he walked. So if you want to be a follower of Jesus, you got to learn to have a walk with the Lord. Look at Isaiah 40 and verse 31, all right? Isaiah 40 verse 31. It says, "But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Now, we love this verse. We use this verse all the time, especially when it comes to prayer, right? Those who wait on the Lord. All right, so we use this verse. But today, will you allow me to expound on this verse? Which this verse actually tells us that there are three seasons of life. The soaring season, the running season, and the walking season. The first season, the soaring season, you are soaring with wings of an eagle. You are soaring because everything is going well in your life. Your family is happy. Your work is blessed. You have been promoted. You have money to bring your friends, your family for a holiday. It's good to bring your friends too. Bring your family for a holiday. You have a nice house, a nice car. You have time to play with your pets. And I love the soaring season. How many of you love the soaring season? Can I see your hands? Now, the second season is what we call the running season. You are running with visions. You are busy with success. Your calendar is full. Your life is fulfilling. Everybody cheers for the runners. It's like cheering for the Olympics. People just love to cheer for the runners. There's a grandstand, photographers, video cameras, supporters, reporters, all the porters are all there. The third season is the walking season. Now, people love to cheer for the runners. They cheer for those who soar. But nobody cheers for those who walk. Nobody would cheer for an old grandpa walking in a park. Why? Because it's too boring to see someone walk, right? So because nobody's cheering you, no reporters, no supporters. But the question is, why would an old grandpa walk faithfully, consistently every single day in the park? If there are no supporters, no cheerleaders, why would he walk every single day? Let me suggest to you. Because this old grandpa, he knows that he has a medical appointment with a heart doctor who would check the condition of his heart. He would do an ECG on his heart. If he has been walking consistently, it will review on the day of medical appointment. It will show up in the ECG test. I want you to know something. The condition of your heart reveals or reflects the consistency of your walk. The condition of your heart reflects the consistency of your walk. How many of you know that one day all of us, we're going to meet our Dr. Jesus? He's going to check our hearts. I want you to know that more in the soaring season, more in the running season, what he is more concerned is our walking experience. He's more concerned about what happens on Monday to Friday. When we go through our stress, our pressure, our temptation, do we have a walk with God? Because if you have a walk with God, your heart will be strong. When temptation comes, your heart can withstand it. When burden comes, your heart can overcome it. The condition of your heart reflects the consistency of your walk. Some people, they find it hard to give God the praise or the glory because they are not walking with God. Because if you walk with Jesus, you will find that every day with Jesus is sweeter and better than the day before. Today is better than yesterday. Tomorrow is better than today. You don't need the choir to encourage you to sing. You don't need the praise leader to tell you to give God the glory. You don't need the preacher to inspire you or to excite you, because you have a walk with the Lord. See, Jesus wants to walk with us. He drew near to Cleopas intentionally. See, they were walking further and further away from Jerusalem. They were walking further and further away from the place where Jesus was last buried. Now they are discouraged because they are no longer walking with Jesus anymore. They have come up to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. They have come up to see Jesus. But to them, Jesus is dead. There is no point staying around. So they decided to go home. Another important principle: a man who loses his purpose always goes back to his past. A man who loses his purpose always goes back to his past. Some people, they went back to their past lifestyle. They went back to a past habits. They went back to a life they once had without Christ. Today, as we start the brand new year, 2022, don't just have a walk. Have a walk with Jesus Christ. Turn to your neighbor and say, you got to have a walk with God. Amen. Number two, I hope you're learning something. Number two, Jesus gave them what they needed, not what they wanted. Jesus gave them what they needed, not what they wanted. Now look at verse 16, verse 18. But their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. And he said to them, what kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad? Then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? Or have you not known the things which had happened here these days, in these days? Now, this was actually the first time Jesus, or rather the resurrected Jesus, appeared to someone. And the Bible tells us that these two men, or these two person, disciples, they couldn't recognize Jesus. So why couldn't they recognize Jesus? Now, there are a few assumptions, because it wasn't really clear. Some people say, oh, Jesus must have supernaturally prevented their eyes from recognizing him. Perhaps they were not ready to see him. But maybe let me suggest to you that maybe the reason why they couldn't recognize Jesus was because they were not expecting to see Jesus. The thing is, you can't see what you don't expect. You can't see what you don't expect. And maybe the reason why we are not having a breakthrough, seeing a breakthrough, it's because we are not expecting a breakthrough. Maybe you're not experiencing a miracle is because you or we are not expecting that miracle. You watch other people sing, clap, lift their hands. You hear people share their testimonies. And then you hear the preacher preach and people say amen to the word, but your heart was not moved because you were not expecting. See, sometimes when we go through challenges, it's hard sometimes to recognize Jesus because we are so focused on our problem that we don't realize that Jesus was actually standing next to us. We see Jesus on Sunday. Today we see Jesus. But on Monday to Friday, we can't see him. Now, look at what Cleopas says. Interesting, right? He said, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who doesn't know the biggest thing that had happened recently?" See, Cleopas couldn't recognize Jesus. To him, Jesus looks like a stranger. Have you ever come to a place where God feels like a stranger? You feel far, you feel distant. You pray and your prayer bounced back. You felt like you're talking to yourself. And you come to church and you see people lift their hands, sing, pray in tongues. All of a sudden you felt distant, unfamiliar. In fact, the cheerfulness of the people around you only magnify your sense of grief and your sorrow. What used to be comfortable is now uncomfortable. What used to be familiar becomes unfamiliar. Now, let's follow the story. Look at verse 19 to verse 20. "And he said to them, 'What things?' So they said to him, 'The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth.'" See, they are talking to Jesus about Jesus. "Who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and all our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified." Look over here. The Bible says they call him a prophet. That means they no longer recognize him as the Messiah, the Christ. See, to them, Jesus can't be, he can't be the Messiah. Because a Messiah is supposed to come and to liberate us. But Jesus is dead. He can't be a Messiah. At most, he's like one of the prophets of the Old Testament who came and died. He can't be the Messiah. See, sometimes when we go through dark times, and we can come to a place where we say, maybe Jesus is not God. Maybe Jesus is not as powerful as I thought him to be. Now, look at verse 21. It says over here, it says, "But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel." We were hoping. See, once they had hope, but now hope is gone. Have you ever said those few words before? We were hoping. We were hoping that our marriage will improve, but we are losing that hope. We were hoping that our children will not be rebellious, but we are losing that hope. We were hoping to be pregnant. We were hoping for a breakthrough. We were hoping for a miracle, for a healing, but we are losing that hope. We were hoping. See, the thing is this. They were disappointed that Jesus didn't do what they expected him to do. What is disappointment? Disappointment comes from unmet expectation. All right, everybody say unmet expectation. So you're disappointed because what you expected didn't come to pass. They expected Jesus to be a king, but Jesus said he's a servant. They wanted a politician, but Jesus is the prophet. They wanted a lion of Judah, but Jesus reveals he's the Lamb of God. They wanted a general, but Jesus is a good shepherd. They wanted a throne, but all they saw was a grave. They wanted a crown, you know, on his head, but Jesus had a cross on his back. They wanted justice, but Jesus gave them grace. Jesus didn't give what they expected. But I want you to tell you something powerful, which is the statement I already made. God doesn't always give you what you want, but he will always give you what you need. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Let me tell you, sometimes what we need is more important than what we want. He loves you. He wants to meet your need. Maybe sometimes what we want is not good for us, but he will always give us what we need. All right, so point number three, Jesus revealed himself through the word. I want you to look at verse 25 to verse 26. It says over here, he said to them, how foolish you are and how slow to believe that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. Now, what important truth over here. When you can't find Jesus in your circumstance, find him in the scriptures. Find him in the word. One of the best ways to get close to Jesus is to read the word, study the word, meditate on the word. So Jesus gave them a detailed Bible study from Moses all the way to all the prophets. Well, I don't know how long is this Bible study. Seems to be an express one, right? You know, from Moses all the way to all the prophets. And he explained to them what the Old Testament scriptures says about the Messiah, which is himself. Now, they thought that the Messiah would come to be a political liberator. But Jesus says, no, this is not the purpose of the Messiah. Jesus didn't come to be victorious as a political leader, but he came to achieve victory through his own suffering. And just as how Jesus suffered, we will suffer as well. I want to show you something about suffering. Look at verse 26. He says, did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? Did you see what I see? Jesus first suffered, then enter. Suffer, enter. That means something. Suffering is prerequisite of glory. Suffering is a prerequisite for glory. And sometimes glory is disguised as suffering. So what looks like suffering is actually glory in disguise. What looks like suffering is actually glory. And I want you to know that God will send glory into your life, dressing like suffering. God will send blessings into your life, dressing like burdens. All right, are you following? What about these parents? God will send patience into your life, dressed like your children, or looking like your children, or your teenagers, all right? Oh, the teenage years, difficult years. All right, so, mine was pretty good. So, now, God is going to send the best times into your life, looking like the worst times. And when you are in it, you can't see it. Because glory doesn't look like glory when it's coming. Do you know that sometimes Jesus shows up not looking like Jesus? You know, apart from this story, there was one time Jesus appeared to Simon Peter. And Simon Peter thought he saw a ghost. So what you're going through, I want to encourage you, church. You know, your burdens is your blessing. Your suffering is your glory. Trust God that he will work things out and show you. How many of you are married here? Can I see your hands? Hallelujah. How many of you are married? Is like perfect? No. Challenges, right? See, your marriage is your blessing. But it looks sometimes like, okay, I shall not say it. But no perfect marriage, challenges, but it's a blessing that God has given to us. How many of you love your spouse? Can I see your hands? Come on, give God the glory for your spouse. Amen. Let's hear some conviction in your clapping. Amen, amen. So in your life, when you go through the challenges, sometimes you don't see Jesus in your circumstance. Find him in the word. And the more you read the word, the more you find him. Number four, Jesus stayed with them when they invited him. Look at verse 28 to verse 30, all right? It says, as they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, stay with us. Right, there you have it. For it is nearly evening. The day is almost over. So he went in to stay with them. Now, these two disciples, they were struggling. They were troubled. But after Jesus gave them a Bible study, all of a sudden, they gained new understanding. At that point, they must make a choice. Will they let Jesus walk on, or will they invite Jesus to stay on? Will they let Jesus just walk away, or will they invite Jesus to stay with them? Because it is one thing to hear about Jesus. It is another to experience the presence of Jesus. I'm not referring to people who don't know God. I'm talking about people like us who have received Jesus and know Him. Are we satisfied to hear about Him once in a while in a church? Is hearing about Jesus once in a while good enough for us? Or do we really desire to experience the presence of Jesus, explore His height, the height, the width, the length, the depth of His love for us? We have a choice to make. Will we let Jesus walk on, or will we invite Him to stay on? See, the thing is, Jesus will never force Himself on anyone. He always waits for an invitation. He will pass by if you allow Him to. He will pass by if you don't invite Him. See, that day, the two disciples, they experienced what Jesus was offering on the road to Emmaus. And they make a decision. They will not let Him walk past. They will not let Him walk away. They say, Jesus, please stay with us. See, if you want to stay close to Jesus, you must want Him. You must invite Him. You know, and you got to tell Jesus, Jesus, stay. I don't want you to go. My heart is burning. Oh, too high. In your presence, Lord, I want more. Okay, I'm going to stop there. But we have to ask Jesus. Jesus, my heart is burning. I want more. I want more of you in 2022. If you believe that, if you agree, let's give Jesus a big hand. Amen. I want you to look at James 4 verse 8. Draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Jesus stayed with them as they invited Him. This year, some of us, we need to invite Jesus to stay with us more. This year, some of us, perhaps, we need to go back and do our quiet time. Some of us, we need to go back and worship God at home. Some of us need to pick up the guitar and play and just worship Him, not because you need to prepare for cell group, but because you just love Him. And this year, some of us, we need to go back to read the Bible more. You know, recently over the Christmas Thanksgiving, right, cell group. So I went to my member's house, Danny's and Annie. So during the dinner, Annie shared with me that her son, Ethan, actually started reading the Bible when he was 7 years old. Today he's 12 years old. You know, he has read the Bible 3 times. Cover to cover. Old Testament and New Testament. And no, he didn't read the children's Bible. Nothing wrong with that. It's still very respectable to read 3 times children's Bible. But Ethan read the New King James Version Bible 3 times. You know, when I heard that, I was so, wow. In fact, I almost fainted. Really? You know, the first time he read the Bible, he read it like a storybook. But after he read the Bible, he felt he wanted more. He went back to read the second time. And when it comes to verses that God speaks to him, he will highlight it. And then he will go back to read again. And after reading the second time, he felt like he needed more. He went back to read the third time. He has already completed 3 times. Maybe some of us, we should go back to read the Bible. Maybe for the first time. No shame about that. It's wonderful if all of us, we can read the Bible at least one time from cover to cover. Who can say amen to that? So now, this year, I want to encourage all of us. Don't let Jesus walk on. Abide in Him. Abide in His Word. Now, let's look at what happened after they invited Jesus to stay with them. I want you to look at verse 30 to verse 31. He says, when He was at a table with them, He took bread and gave thanks, broke it and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized Him, and He disappeared from their sight. See, when Jesus broke the bread, the same way He did when He fed the 5,000, the same way He did at the Last Supper, all of a sudden, the eyes of the two disciples were open, and they realized that they had been talking to Jesus. Now, this passage that we have read is some sort of parallel to our weekend church experience. Because sometimes during the weekdays, as we go through our work, our school, our assignments, our busyness, sometimes it's easy to lose clarity. We can't see our purpose, our vision. We can't see Jesus clearly. But every Sunday when we come to church, when we worship God together, when we hear the Word and have the Word explained to us, all of a sudden, our eyes are open. And the church is then brought together with Jesus in the breaking of bread. So every time when we have Holy Communion, we experience Jesus all together. And that is why it is all so important for us to come to church. It's good that we can have service online virtually. Thank God for technology. I want to encourage you, if you don't have a ticket to come to church physically, please continue to watch us online or participate with us online. Now, it's good to be able to listen to all the powerful preachers from all over the world from our devices. But how many of you will agree that it's a different thing that we can come together in church, on site, in this hall, lifting our hands, reading the Bible, hear the Word of God. Hallelujah. Because in God's presence, lives are still changed. Miracles are still happening. Hearts are still moved. I want to encourage all of us, come back to church services as much as we can. Amen? Number five, Jesus restored their hearts and their purpose. With this, I'll close, all right? Verse 32 to verse 35. It says over here, they asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us when He talked with us on the road and opened the Scriptures to us? They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together, saying, it is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon. Then the two told what had happened on their way and how Jesus was recognized by them when He broke the bread. Something powerful when they stayed with Jesus or when Jesus stayed with them. The eyes were open. The hearts were burning within them. All of a sudden, their hearts are being restored. Their purpose was being restored by Jesus. And the revelation that Jesus is still alive was the turning point of their journey. Because for 11 kilometers, they walked and they walked and they walked feeling hopeless. And now they realize that hope was actually walking beside them. For 11 kilometers, they walked feeling that God has forsaken them. But now they realize that God has always been with them. And immediately, they make a decision to return back to Jerusalem. It was an 11-kilometer journey. They didn't mind the long journey. They didn't mind that it was already late in the night, because the good news that they just received is just too wonderful for them to keep to themselves. They got to tell somebody about Christ. Do we have the same excitement that these two guys have? We got to tell somebody about Christ. See, everything has changed for them. Jesus truly is the Son of God. And Jesus is truly alive. And if Jesus is alive, there is no time to waste. If Jesus is alive, everything we believe is true. If Jesus is alive, then death has been defeated. If Jesus is alive, then all that we believe is true and heaven is more than just a dream. If Jesus is alive, our sins are really forgiven. If Jesus is alive, then all His promises are true. I think this is a good point to clap. Hallelujah. Jesus is alive. I don't know about you, but we are not here because City Harvest Church is fun. We are not in church. We are not lifting our hands because it's cool to do that. We do all we do, or we did all that we have done, is because we know that this is not a religion. This is real. Jesus is alive. Something happened inside their hearts. They said, were not our hearts burning within us when He spoke to us? You got to understand that Jerusalem at that point was a dangerous place because the authorities were persecuting the Christians. But they were willing to risk their lives for their purpose. They said, we are going back to Jerusalem. We're going back to tell others what we have seen and what we have heard. That what the women said and what Simon Peter said about Jesus being alive is true. We are going back to our church family. We are going back to our purpose. We are going back to serve the Lord. Hallelujah. Come on. Today, some of us could be on our road to Emmaus. You're on a road to nowhere. Maybe some of us are on a road of despair, discouragement. Some might be backsliding. Your heart used to be burning with fire, but that the fire now is withering. Listen to me, church family. I believe today Jesus wants to interrupt our journey right at the beginning of the year. Number one, Jesus wants to have a walk with you. He wants to walk with you. Thank God for the soaring season. Thank God for the busy season. There is running. At one time, some of you are serving so much. But maybe now you don't do so much. But it's not the running, it's not the soaring season that He's after. He wants to walk with you. Don't walk by yourself. Don't walk away from Jesus. Let Jesus walk with you. Number two, He may not always give you what you want, but He will always give you what you need. Perhaps some of us, we are a little disappointed that what you expected didn't come to pass. What you prayed for didn't come to pass. But we must trust God. He will give you what you need. Maybe sometimes what we want may not be the best thing in our lives. Trust God. And I want to encourage some of us that are going through suffering. Your suffering is your glory. Your burden is your blessing. Let Jesus have His way. And as you seek Him more, He will reveal more and more to you. And number three, He reveals Himself through the Word. If you can't see Jesus in your circumstance, find Him in the Word. Let 2022 be marked by a year where we go back to the Word, go back to the Scriptures. And number four, He will walk, He will stay with you if you ask Him to. Don't let Jesus walk away. Don't just hear the Word. Let's experience the presence of Jesus. And number five, He wants to restore your purpose and your heart. Today, we are making the same decision Cleopas made. We are going back to Jerusalem. We are going back to a relationship with God. We are going back to serve Him. Some of you are going back to your cell group. I know it's been a while. It's time to go back to cell group. For some of us, it's time to come back to church, to worship God. I know 2 years is a long time. 2 years, maybe our weekends are packed with certain commitments, our children's enrichment, important meals with important people in our lives. But let's not have our weekend without Jesus. It's time to come back to the church. Some of us, we're going back to serve God, serve in the ministry. Why don't we all stand our feet together right now? I just sense the presence of the Lord here in this place. Why don't we lift up our hands? Hallelujah. Just worship Him. Just love Him. Hallelujah.
Worship You, God. I know why this life to be in the presence of the Lord. Not know what time it is, because time stood still, and bodies were healed families restored. Because we stay here in the presence of the Lord. No one had to say a word. Couldn't even make a sound. Give up everything. But I give up everything for this treasure I found. I never wanted to end. So I say, stay. You to go, my heart is burning for you, 'cause my heart is burning in your presence, Lord. Please stay. I don't want you to go.
Jesus is walking with us. He's interrupting us at our road to Emmaus. He walks with us. He talks with us. He reminds us. He reassures us. And He wants to help us make sense of things, things that have happened. And I know that certain things that happened in your life, You will never be able to make sense of them. Why could something like this happen? But perhaps today, Jesus wants to help us to make peace with them. Make peace with what happened. And where there is fear, Jesus is restoring faith. Where there is suffering, Jesus is restoring hope. And where there is hopelessness, He is restoring hope and love. The interruption of Emmaus is all about turning back. Turning back to Jerusalem. Going back to the place where our hearts are burning with fire. It's about going back to prayer. It's about going back to reading the Bible. It's about going back to do a quiet time. It's about going back to serve God with a simple and pure heart. Some of us used to serve God. But maybe things happen. Busyness, different season of life. Stop for a while. But perhaps today God is speaking to you. It's time to go back to serve. It's time to go back to your purpose. Just look at me for a while. You know, this morning, you know, I came to church and somebody at the back room said, "Oh, Pastor, is that a new suit?" I said, "No, it's not a new suit. You know, I bought this quite a while ago, but I grew fat, put on weight. So I didn't wear it for a long time. So this morning, I didn't know what to wear. Let's try. Hey, it fits. I don't know, it's maybe supernatural, right? What used to be old can be renewed. What used to be rendered useless can be of use again. Cell group leaders, ministry leaders, volunteers who serve in the ministry, you have the experience. You have the anointing. You have the skill, and the skill can be polished and renewed. God is calling us to go back to serve Him. We need you. With this whole social distancing, we got to have more than 3 services. But to have more services, we need more volunteers. We need more leaders. It's time to go back to serve Him. Why don't we lift our hand, just talk to God for a while. Something is happening right here, right now. Oh, your heart is burning. Your heart is burning. Your heart is burning. Oh, Lord. Your heart is burning. Something is happening right here, right now. Lift up your hands and just worship Him right now. My heart burns.
And my heart burns for you. And my heart
Hallelujah. Why don't we lift up our hands to the Lord right now? Hallelujah. The presence of God is all over here in this place. From the front row all the way to the back row. From the back row all the way through the wires, through the internet virtual system, to all the ones that are watching right now online. God is permeating into your heart right now. Let me just pray for you. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your love for us. Thank you that you didn't leave Cleopas at the road to Emmaus. You interrupted him and you want to walk with him. Jesus, we invite you to walk with us. We will never want to have a walk without you. We want to walk with you every single day. And we do not want to have a weekend without Jesus. Lord, we pray that you will help us also, Lord, to understand when you don't give us what we want. Help us to understand that you will always want to meet what we need. And Father, we pray that we will find strength and courage. As we go through the suffering, we can recognize your glory. As we carry the burdens, help us to see the blessings. Jesus, help us to see you in the Word. And God, we want to invite you to stay with us. We don't want you to walk away. We want more of you, Jesus. We want to pray more this year. Read the Bible more this year. We want to worship you at home. We want to come to church. Restore our vision. Restore our purpose. Restore our hearts. Let our hearts burn with fire once again. Let our eyes be open to see new dreams and new vision once again. So Father, we commit 2022 into your hands. Let it be a year of pursuing Jesus more in our lives. We love you. We praise you. We thank you for this Christ interruption. Bring us back to the right place. We love you. In Jesus' name, and all of God's people say, let's give Jesus one more big hand. Hallelujah.
I want more.
Before I close the meeting today, maybe God is speaking to two groups of people here in this place. The first group are those of you who have never received Jesus Christ into your life. You know, somebody invited you here to church. Or maybe somebody just sent you the link to watch this service. You know something? God loves you. The Bible says that God is knocking at the door of your heart. If you open your heart, He will come in and dine with you. He will come in and make His home in your hearts. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The Bible says that the free gift of God is eternal life. If you don't have Jesus in your life, there is something called spiritual death. But Jesus loves you. He doesn't want you to die. That is why more than 2,000 years ago, He went to the cross to die for your sins and my sins. Today, all you have to do is to invite Him into your life. Let Him be your personal Savior, Lord. Let Him wash you from all your sins. Let Him give you salvation. The second group of people are those. Perhaps you used to be on fire for God. You used to come to church. You used to read the Bible. But somehow, because of things that happened, you are sliding away from God. Like Cleopas, you are walking further and further away from God. But today, God is here to interrupt you. Don't backslide anymore. Slide back to God. You know, God is doing something right now. Hallelujah. I want you to, if that is you, I want you to pray this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Today, I acknowledge.
Today, I acknowledge.
I'm a sinner.
I'm a sinner.
A backslider.
A backslider.
Right now.
Right now.
I invite you.
I invite you.
To come into my life.
To come into my life.
To be my personal Savior and Lord.
To be my personal Savior.
Forgive me of all my sins.
Forgive me of all my sins.
Cleanse me with your blood.
Cleanse me with your blood.
I want to come back to you, Lord.
I want to come back to you.
I want to come back from backsliding.
I want to come back from backsliding. Holy Spirit,
help me
to walk with you
in 2022.
And forward.
In Jesus' name.
And everybody say,
Amen.
Let's give Jesus a big hand. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Amen.
Are you blessed by this week's podcast? Tell us at connect@chc.org.sg.